the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
On Exploring the Word, we try to do our best to stick to the Word of God, share the Word of God, and pray that God would take His Word and work it in your heart, in your life. Well, this is Bert Harper, and along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's a joy to be with you. We're in the book of Numbers, and we're looking at chapter 7 and chapter 8. And matter of fact, chapter 7 is the longest chapter in the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. There is 89 verses. The reason it is so long is because for 7 days, seven tribes brought their gifts and dedicated it to the Lord for the Levites as they were starting their ministry in the tabernacle. Alex, again, it's quite a long chapter, but it's again and again, all seven tribes with the seven leaders bringing those offerings to the Lord. And they were consistent. They did it, and they did it well, because at the end it says they did what God told them to do. I think that's not bad to do what God tells us to do, is it?
Amen. Amen. It's the right thing to do always, what God says to do. And yes, chapter 7 of Numbers, 89 verses. You're right. In the beginning five books of the Bible, this is the longest chapter we've encountered so far. And I want to go back, but let me begin by reading verse 89. May I do that?
That's right. Sometimes reading the last verse of something like that helps you to understand the rest of it. Go ahead.
And when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, and by the way, that means to speak with God, then he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the ark of testimony, from between the two cherubim, and he spake unto him. Let me say this, the mercy seat was really the lid of the golden box that is the Ark of the Covenant, and they would sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice, and the presence of God would consume that from between the two cherubim. Bert, I want to say this, God is still speaking forth His voice, calling out to the world from the mercy seat.
Amen,
and
Alex.
I want to tell you, an evangelistic sermon drawn from the Old Testament could absolutely be preached from Numbers 7, verse 89.
You are exactly right. And notice what else is said here at the beginning, and look at verse 3. They brought their offering before the Lord. Now, they were bringing it to Moses. They were bringing it there. Aaron was to receive all that, and they were bringing it for the tabernacle. But ultimately, it was before the Lord. Alex, when we bring our tithe, our offerings to church, or when we send an offering to a ministry, are we bringing it before the Lord?
Well, yeah. We give it as unto the Lord. And that's why, you know, every now and then I've counseled with some churches that are going through some things. Believe it or not, there was a church, this is absolutely a true story, that had a church split. There was a mop and a bucket somebody had bought to put down in the kitchen. And, I mean, what is this worth? $10 maybe. But the preacher's wife took the mop and the bucket over to the parsonage to clean up something. And somebody saw it, and that they just, it flew all over them. Anyway, here's my point. When you give something, you give it as unto the Lord, really. No strings attached. And the person that had bought the mop and the bucket was affronted that she took it out of the church and over to the parsonage. And, I mean, just about, well, they did, in fact, split that church. Now, my point is this. I'm not saying we should abuse the things in a church or something like that. But whether you give money or you give your time or you donate an object, it's unto the Lord. You know, our hands are off of it. No strings attached. So let's say you bought a coffee maker for the Sunday school class, and 5 years from now it doesn't work anymore, let them throw it away. It's not yours anymore. You gave it as unto the Lord. You know, Bert, I'm getting a little in the weeds here, but I just think that whenever we don't own anything anyway. Look, that money that we put in the offering plate, that wasn't ours anyway. God entrusted it to us. So when they bring the offerings for the dedication of the altar here, and this is why number 7 is really so lengthy, because they list all these things, you know, basically from verses 10 through about 88, you know, about 78 verses. There's who gave what and a lot of names and objects and things like that. And it's very lengthy. But, you know, what happens is, let me just say this. Chapter 6 closed out with what has been called the Aaronic blessing, as in Aaron and all of his associates that are serving in the priesthood there. And then we've got, in chapter 7, the people and the princes of Egypt and their houses that bring these offerings. And verse 5, well, 4 and 5, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, take it of them, in other words, receive it, that they may be to do the service of the tabernacle and of the congregation, and thou shalt give them unto the Levites, to every man according to his service. So they're pooling their resources for the operation of this tabernacle. And Bert, isn't that how it is now? I mean, many, many a wonderful church has begun and operated because people gave what they had, land, lumber, tables, chairs, they gave, and they gave it as unto the Lord.
Amen, Alex. And that's what they did here, and it was sufficient, it was enough, and they did according to what the Lord said. Now, at the beginning of this, I found this unusual. You know, for the carts and the oxen, they were given to two of the different ministries. But verse 9 says, but the sons of Kohath, did not give them carts and oxen. Now, why? He tells, because theirs was the service of the holy things which were to be carried on their shoulders. Now, I think we get something else here about a local church and also ministry. Not everybody has the same task. Not everyone needs the same time. Not everybody needs the same equipment. Here, those two, Gershon, Merak, they needed those oxen. They needed the cart. They were taking the load of the pillars and all of that, but not the Kohaths. They had to do it on their shoulders. Now, I just want to share with you, that happens a lot of the time. Something may be more difficult individually than the other is, but all are important. Let me say, and I want you to comment, if they did not have all the things that the Gershons and Merarites were taken, they would not have anywhere to put the holy things that the Kohath group was taken. You catch what? It works together. And so let me just say this. I praise the Lord for nursery workers. I love
amen.
Amen. Now, I love children in the sanctuary. I just think if you got a newborn baby or you're real young, you shouldn't sit on the front row. You might need to be in the back while you're training them, because that can be difficult and hard. That is just a suggestion. But I would say those nursery workers, and have you noticed about a baby when they come, they always bring somebody with them? You know,
amen.
So that's good outreach. So each person might have something to do. One more thing, and I'll throw it back to you. Verse 11, and the Lord said, they shall offer their offering 1 liter each day for the dedication of the altar. In other words, it was an important thing each day. Now, when I read that, I thought, well, why? They didn't bring it all together. No, this gave them opportunity to look at what they had done, what God would call them to do, but it also give time for them to take care of it and put it in its place. So when the second day came and the second group came, they would have room for theirs as well. So, Alex, there was organization in the offering. I found that interesting, is something we would take note of today.
Amen. Amen. And this is all, as verse 10 says, the dedicating of the altar in the day that it was anointed. Even the princes offered their offering before the altar. And the Lord said unto Moses, they shall offer their offering, each prince on his day, for the dedicating of the altar. Now, just like everything else, is very orderly, wasn't it? It wasn't just chaotic or anything like that. Very orderly. And you've got all of these, you know, these offerings, silver chargers, 130 shekels, silver bowls full of fine flour mingled with oil for a meat offering one of the offerings. And very often the priest would eat after the ritual was done. A spoon worth 10 shekels of gold, a bullock, a ram, a lamb for a burnt offering, kids and goats. Now, we could go through this list, but here's the thing. You ever heard that old saying, many hands make light work? All of these things, the furniture of the tabernacle and the implements to carry out the worship of the true and living God and the sacrifices, not to mention the livestock, the wood and the silver and the gold implements and furniture, it's a lot. It's a lot. But with all of the different tribes and people contributing, it was doable. It was manageable. And that's how God does. It's a team effort, isn't it? And when we all do our part, well, I'll put it this way, Bert, I'm going to throw it back to you. Bill Bright, who was my evangelism professor at Liberty, Bill Bright, he gave documentation of the churches, the Christians throughout the world. The church in every generation has this assignment called the Great Commission to tell the world. Now, not everybody's going to believe, but everybody should hear. And Bill Bright would document how we have the resources, and it wouldn't even be that much of a stretch, but if we all pull together, the church in every generation has had the ability to thoroughly tell the world the gospel.
Amen. And this is it. Notice what it does. It gives you the first day. What it says on the first day, verse 12. The second day, verse 18. It gives you the tribe and the leader or the prince, as it says in some versions. But it goes down. And this is it. And we're getting close to the break. But this is their way they travel, too. Judah would be out front, and then would come Issachar, Zebulun. It was interesting. It was organized not only in the days, but it was a consistency. There was a consistency. Okay, you travel this way, we're going to bring the offering this way. First day, second day, all the way through day 12. As you get this done, you're to make do of what God has given. In our lives, let me share with you, we need to be consistent, we need to be organized, and we need to offer it as unto the Lord. Well, this is Exploring the Word, Bert Harper, Alex McFarland, and we're going to jump over to chapter 8, and it's the dedication of the Levites. And I think we can learn some more about leadership here on Exploring the Word. We'll be back right after this break.
The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
I doubt my victory. Why would I question the rod and the staff that comforts me?
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. We're going to resume Numbers chapter 7 in just a moment. But before we do, we want to welcome everybody. And I want to remind people about something that the deadline is kind of coming up. And that is our Ten Commandments challenge. And Bert, I just think this is so precious because we were on a couple of weeks ago with Joseph Parker, and we were talking about challenging young people to know the Ten Commandments and to speak about this. And there are some prizes available, but June 30th is going to be the deadline. So give that information again, would you please, Bert?
Okay. What you want to do, and this is the easiest way to do it, go to afr.net/Ten Commandments, and it will share with you all the information, the date, the length of the speech that you need to record, 3 to 5 minutes. It'll tell you that the ages is 7 to 17, and they're wanting you to specialize on the first one, you shall have no other gods before me. And this, again, this has been going on for a few years now. We continue it. And so you can be a part of it. If you're 7 or 17, sitting in the back seat of your mom or grandmom's car, you can tell them, hey, Mom, I want to make a speech. And you can get some help with it. But go to that place. It's information. It's afr.net/Ten Commandments. Now, the Ten Commandments are written out. So you'll see it, though. Visit afr.net/ Ten Commandments.
I think that's wonderful. I think that's wonderful. And we look forward to hearing from some great young people about that. Well, Bert, before the break, we were talking about the list of all of these just wonderful gifts and things that were brought to the tabernacle. I think it's interesting that God recorded this because, you know, we do what we do for God's glory, not for accolades. But yet this and all the details, the implements and the oil and the flour and the kids and the bullocks and the lambs and the shekels. And when you do things, be assured God is aware of it. I believe God keeps a record of it, and he records faithful service. Now, we don't work our way to heaven, but God is aware of it. And, you know, it says that God is no man's debtor. If you've served and sacrificed, and we do it out of love and gratitude, but God is faithful, and he knows of it, and he will reward and repay. This, I think this list and the minutia is proof of how God knows what we do in service to him.
He does, and he's a God of details. Every time I look at a flower and see, especially the inside of a Gerber daisy or anything like that, I look at the detail, everything about it. It always amazes me. Our God is a God of detail, and I know sometimes I'm too generalist. My wife and I talk about that. I'm glad he gave me her, who is more detailed in issues than I. And so, but God is a God of detail, and I think that does show, and it also shows the importance of each tribe. Each one of those had a responsibility. Each tribe met that responsibility. Each leader took their position and did it well. So that's what we want to do today. We want to continue that in our lives as well. Well, Alex, after they've got the material here for the Levites, they've counted the people, they've taken the offering, and now it's time to consecrate the Levites so they can do the work that God has called them to do. And there's first the cleansing. It's a ceremonial cleansing. In other words, the sacrifices that are being made, the washing that needs to happen, so they will be ready for the service of the Lord. You've talked about this. You mentioned it a good bit more than I do, but a call to service is a call to prepare. So chapter 8, verses 1 through 7 or 9 there, it's a call to prepare. Get yourself ready. Cleanse yourself on the outside, but more importantly, on the inside. So here it is. They're getting ready, but there's that preparation that needs to be made.
Let me read part of 8 here. Well, I'm going to read 89 again. I know I opened with it, but Moses was gone to the out of the congregation to the tabernacle to speak with God. And Moses heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the Ark of the Testimony from between the two cherubim, and he spoke unto him. So Moses communicated with God himself. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, and by the way, what we're going to get in these first four verses are Aaron is going to light the lamps for the tabernacle. God said to Moses, speak unto Aaron and say unto him, when you light the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over against the candlestick. And Aaron did so. He lighted the lamps thereof over against the candlestick, as the Lord commanded Moses. And this work of the candlestick was of beaten gold unto the shaft thereof. Under the flowers thereof was beaten work according to the pattern which the Lord had showed Moses. So he made the candlestick. Okay, a shaft, a wooden shaft gilded with gold, a golden candlestick. And Bert, let's talk about this thing of seven lamps. And I know the tabernacle is not necessarily the same as a local church congregation. But when I read this, I'm reminded of the book of Revelation, where it talks about the churches and their lampstands and the seven spirits of God, which empowered and inhabited the churches. And this is in Revelation 1, verse 13, seven candlesticks. Well, it speaks of the Spirit of God, the voice of God from the mercy seat. I'll say two things, and then I want to get into five and following, the cleansing of the Levites. The voice of the one from the mercy seat is Jesus. And the Spirit of God, and really Almighty God, and I realize the revelation of the Trinity was not fully understood here, even though it's all the way back in Genesis 1. But I see a twofold thing here in the tabernacle, the mercy seat, the presence of God, the Levites. I think it's pictorial of the Trinity, certainly pictorial of the church that would come. Not only the church, the body of Christ, but the church, the local assembly through whom the Spirit of God works. I know it's probably, 1 Corinthians 13 says, we see through a glass darkly. This was not fully vivid, but I really see the indications of it. Do you?
I do, and remind of Jesus on the road to Emmaus. He went back, and he shared with those two, look at this scripture. That's about me. Look at this scripture. They didn't know it exactly then, but Jesus was able to bring it out. And because of Jesus coming to the earth, the Holy Spirit of God coming and indwelling each believer, the Word of God that we have now, and the church founded and birthed, I should say, and growing, we can look back and say, oh, I see that. I see the Holy Spirit. So, Alex, I think you're exactly right. Let me just say one thing. I know you're in the King James, and it says candlestick. It's really not a candle the way we think of candles. These are lamps. And the oil is on the base, and each one of them has a container. It's not a waxed candle. And so that I always think of that, because when I remember reading the King James, and I would hear the candlestick, and I said, I didn't know they had all that. Well, it's a lampstand, and that I hope that maybe clarifies. But as you said in verse 5 following is the cleansing, and you'll find out, again, that word is used again and again, because there needs to be this purity, this holiness. God is that way, and he wants his people, be ye holy, for I am holy. Especially those, I don't think God has, second and third and all of that. Everybody needs to be that way. But to whom much is given, Alex, much is required. And there's much, if you're going to follow the Lord, if you're going to do his work and represent God as the priest, the Levites, you need to take it seriously. And here they do. They cleanse. They have the offering. And they lay hands on them as they've been set apart for this special work. Now, Alex, I want to ask this, and I want to share three things that I think we get from God's calling. God does have special work for some people. In other words, the firstborn had been that, but now God has said, okay, the Levites, I'm taking you out, and I am giving you this special work. You're not going to get any land when you get into the land, but you're going to have 48 cities to live in, and you're going to have these jobs to do. So you've got a special calling in your life. Alex,
amen.
This was a special calling for them, wasn't it?
Yes, and so much of chapter 8, it could be summarized, I really suppose, by verse 11. Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for an offering of the children of Israel. Now here's the Levites, that they may execute the service of the Lord. And if you go back to verse 7, I'm going to read 5 and following. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. And thus thou shalt do unto them to cleanse them, sprinkle water of purifying upon them, and let them shave all their flesh, and let them wash their clothes, and so make themselves clean. Okay, this purification, like the calling of God, it encompasses the whole person. And, you know, if you follow along with us in the Old Testament, it's very ritualistic, the whole person. And, you know, because this is important stuff here. Even the ones that would go before God on behalf of the people, they themselves had to be made right with God. The Levites, yes, they had to have purification. And so this cleansing of the Levites illustrates how serious they were and we are to take this thing called our relationship with God.
Amen.
I mean, your Christianity is not just 2 hours on Sunday morning. I mean, it's 24/7, body, soul, spirit, heart, mind, abilities. I love Jack Wortson of Word of Life. He would say this, and many people have copied this statement, and I do too. But he said, all that I am, all that I have, all that I ever hope to be, I now and forever dedicate to you, Lord Jesus. Hold me to it. Amen.
Amen.
People that would come forward in Jack Wortson's meetings would sign a little card and say that. And Bert, this thing of the purification of the entire body, it speaks to the fact that if you give your life to God, especially in full-time vocational ministry, it really encompasses the totality of who you are.
Amen, Alex. We got about 4 more minutes before I want to make sure we get this in. Notice verse 11, the last part, that they may perform the work of the Lord. Okay? Now look at verse 13. And you shall stand the Levites before Aaron and his sons, and then offer them as through a wave offering to the Lord. Okay, it's God who has chosen them. It's God's work. And we are to please God. Have you ever heard you worship for an audience of one? You serve for an audience of one. You do it as unto the Lord. If you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. But it is God first. Serve the Lord, then the people. That is the whole idea. So if you're a pastor, what you want to do as best you can, you grow in favor with God and man. But you're going to give an account unto God one day. You may have some immediate accounts to give now to an elder board, to a group, to a team. And I understand that, and that's good. Accountability is always good. But our ultimate authority over us is God. That's not just true for pastors. That's true for every one of us. And then, Alex, it just continues on. We're getting close to the end here where we'll take phone calls. And that number, if you want to call, is 888-589-8840. And so here it talks about, let me just read verse 15. After the Levites shall go into the service, the tabernacle of meeting, so you shall cleanse them and offer them as though a wave offering, for they are holy, W-H-O-L-L, two L's, Y, given to me from among the children of Israel. I have taken them for myself instead of all. This is God choosing. God is the one who is chosen. He desires that all should come to repentance, but he does select some with spiritual gifts, experiences, passion, heart for things to do a special service. And here, the Levites is representing that, Alex.
Amen. For just a moment, I want to give a nod to Bert Repeated Word Harper. When things repeat, Bert notices it. But I was so glad that you, out of like 16, wholly given unto me, for I have taken them unto me. If you go back, some repeated concepts, verse 9, gather the whole assembly, bring the Levites to me, offer the Levites to me. Verse 12, offer, verse 13, set the Levites before, offer them to me. Verse 14, separate the Levites. At least seven times, and depending on how you count the verbiage, maybe it's more like about nine, but the Levites were called out and separated. Bert, you and I have talked about it. There was a little gospel booklet many years ago that I got, and it said, others may, you cannot. Do you remember that?
I do, yes.
You and I talked about it. Let me say this. If you're in full-time Christian ministry, of course you are called to live a holy, sanctified, God-honoring life. But just even as a born-again believer, Jesus needs to have all of us. It's pictured in these Levites should be very vivid in our life that we give our whole self to the one who gave his life for us.
Amen. Well, we're going to take phone calls. That number, 888-589-8840. We would love to hear from you today. Will you take a moment and celebrate life with me? Last year, Preborn helped to rescue over 67,000 babies from abortion. Hi, this is Bert Harper, and I want to thank you for your partnership. Think about what you did. 67,000 babies are taking their first breath now because of you. Your $28 sponsored one ultrasound that was given to a woman as she was deciding about the future of her child. Once she saw her precious baby for the first time and heard that sweet heartbeat, her baby's chance at life doubled. But Preborn's mission is not only to rescue babies' lives, but also to lead women to Christ. Last year, Preborn Network Clinics saw 8,900 women receive salvation. Your help is crucial to continue their life-saving work.
Every second of our lives, we are precious in His sight. We are children to a Father, gave His all to give us life. It don't matter where you are.
Amen. Brent did it again. He got another song. Man, I appreciate you, brother. Hey, Alex, I heard you on Today's Issues earlier today. I was glad you were on that show. Well, I am on tomorrow. Now, what they do, they cover serious things with you. But when I go on Friday, it's Trivia Friday. And so I got my Bible question, my Andy Griffith show question. I've got those ready to go. So of you that are Exploring the Word fans, also listen to Trivia tomorrow. It's 10 o'clock on, it starts Central Time. So we'll have a good time. So looking forward to that.
Well, I enjoy your appearances on Today's Issues. they really are good.
Okay. And, well, you do great as well. Are you ready for the phone calls, man?
Yes, sir. 888-589-8840. We would love to hear from you folks. So if you've got a Bible question, give us a call.
Well, let's go to Kentucky. James, thank you for calling. James, turn your radio down if you got it on, brother. Are you there?
Okay, yes, sir.
Yeah,
yes,
go right ahead, man. It's good to hear from you.
My question. Okay, yeah, good to hear from you. My question's dealing, and I know where I stand on it, but particularly in light of Acts 2:38, where a person says you can't be saved until you're water baptized. Now, I know water baptism is the first step of obedience you take, but they're saying you don't contact the blood of Christ until baptism happens. And I just wanted to hear your stance on it.
Okay, James. Thank you so much. Let me give you this, James. You're starting in the book of Acts, stay in the book of Acts, and read it all the way through. And you'll find sometimes they were baptized and then they received the Holy Spirit. And then another time they received the Holy Spirit and then they were baptized. So, they're, you know, what's the matter? You know, they're saved without being baptized? Look at that. It's in the book of Acts. Alex, it does show that in the book of Acts. That sounds like salvation comes and then water baptism is after that.
Yeah, and we've said this before, and I want to say this in love and very gently. I don't mean to be like a know-it-all or something, but really, salvation throughout the New Testament, clearly it is by faith. Jesus' death on the cross makes salvation possible. Our faith in him makes salvation actual. And like Galatians 3, 26 and 27, Galatians 3, 26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Okay? Doesn't say by faith plus baptism. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So here's the thing that we have to get across. The New Testament uses the word baptism in two senses. There is water baptism, believer's baptism, but really there is baptism, immersion into Christ through faith. So it's not faith plus the act of water baptism, but it's you are baptized into Christ the moment you put your faith in him. Now, water baptism identifies you. It's a public proclamation of the inner change that's already taken place. And water baptism identifies you with the church. You know, Bert, for 11 years, I was youth pastor. And I was youth pastor at a wonderful church called Friendly Avenue Baptist. But years prior to that, as a brand new believer, I was baptized at Macedonia Baptist. Now, Macedonia Baptist was where I got saved. I got discipled. I was baptized, and for many years, I was a member there. I worked at Friendly Avenue. I was on the pastoral staff. Here's my point. Water baptism is a public proclamation of the salvation that's already taken place, but it also identifies you with a particular local church, really, doesn't it?
It really does. And listen, it's a picture of, like you said, death, burial, and resurrection. And it is important. Don't, we are not saying, oh, it doesn't matter. It does matter. You know, baptism is, water baptism is important, but get right with God. Water baptism by itself won't change. Just get, you know, you're, you know, go down, you get, come up wet, and that's the way it is. But if it's real, you're identifying with Christ as a testimony, and it is an outward declaration of following Christ. James, hope that helps. Read the book of James, and through that, I mean, the book of Acts, and I think it, you'll see you started in Acts 2:38, but keep on reading in chapter 10 and following, and you'll see some little bit, I think, clarity on salvation is by grace through faith. Let's go to Missouri and talk to Dennis. Dennis, thank you for calling.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and thank you so much for your program. I like to listen to, try to listen to you as often as I can. My question is about the Ezekiel 37 and 38, the battle. Am I to assume, as I watch world affairs and watch certain countries like Russia and some others, that this coalition is being formed up right now as we speak?
It sure could be. Okay, there's been other times when we've seen some things happening we thought this could be, but I've never seen it in history, okay? Looking through history, Alex, I've never seen it kind of aligning like it is, quite like it is right now. Would you say that too?
Yeah, and these nations like Russia and Turkey and Persia, which is now Iran, they will form this coalition against Israel. And Bert, I think it's interesting, Ezekiel 38 and 39 follow Ezekiel 37. And Ezekiel 37 was the valley of the dry bones, where these bones are in a dusty valley, and suddenly sinews and flesh and tendons appear, and the bones become a body, and the body stands up. And Ezekiel says, hey, what is this? And, you know, God says, it's the nation of Israel, verse 12 of Ezekiel 37. I do think it's interesting that after the restoration of Israel and the Valley of Dry Bones, after the restoration of Israel eventually comes the Confederation of Nations standing against it. Well, we've seen Israel be reborn 77 years ago, and although Donald Trump and others, you know, have helped stave it off a while, ultimately, the shocking anti-Semitism in the world, and frankly, anti-Israel sentiment, it will coalesce into the Battle of Gog and Magog, won't it?
It really will. And so, Dennis, I'll put it this way. Someone has said it this way. Start looking upward, you know, in the eastern sky, and be ready. And so thank you, man. Let's go to Timothy in North Carolina. Timothy, thank you for calling.
Oh, yes. I know it says everybody won't be treated the same in heaven. But if that's the case, what are we being rewarded on exactly?
Okay, good question. There's some rewards that are available. Paul said that in his last book he wrote. He said, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now, it wasn't salvation. He'd already had that, but this was in addition to a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me, not to me only, but to all of those who love his appearing. Now, we've just talked about that, loving his appearing. Alex, it sounds like we better love his appearing enough that we get right with God, stay right with God, and serve God. And there's going to be a reward. There's other rewards. And so, now what, and Alex, you think you're going to wear those crowns on your head? Are you going to cast them at his feet?
No.
What do you think?
Five times the book of Revelation says that we're going to lay the crowns at his feet. And
amen.
Maybe we might recite Psalm 115, verse 1, that says, not unto us, O Lord, give glory, but unto thy name give glory. And so we should want crowns in heaven, not for accolades or arrogance, but to lay them for the worship of the Lamb. But Bert, I know one of the earliest messages you and I recorded, because we record backup messages. You had created an outline, and it is fantastic. But it was about the various crowns we can win in heaven, right?
It is. And look, it is, Alex. And so, listen, have you ever heard, don't go empty-handed?
Yeah.
You know, with this, we want something and say, God, this is yours to you. As you said it, Alex, to him be glory.
Yeah.
Amen. Timothy, I hope that helps, brother. So let's stay on the firing line. Let's stay strong, and let's serve the Lord with gladness.
And Bert, let me just throw this in here. We had this question at youth camp in Georgia this week. One of the teens asked me, said, you know, are there going to be different levels in heaven? And I don't think it's going to be like a thing of envy or, oh my goodness, here are the super elites way up here and us common folk way down here. There's not going to be jealousy or anything like that. But from salvation to death, everything we do for the Lord post-salvation, God is going to reward us. And heaven is going to be wonderful and glorious. And it's not going to be about, oh my goodness, look at Billy Graham and David Jeremiah, and here's me way down here. I think the glory of heaven is going to be, as the songwriter says, one glimpse of his dear face.
Amen.
All sorrows will arise. But yeah, there's going to be crowns in heaven for the faithful service on the part of the believers, aren't there?
There really is. Dr. Bobby Moore, who was a mentor of mine, he's in heaven, pastor of a church close to Memphis, just a godly man, one of the greatest men I've ever known in my life. He said, listen, our capacity to know God down here and know him and serve him will enhance our capacity to know him and love him in heaven. In other words, the greater the greater capacity we have down here of knowing God in heaven, we have a capacity to know him greater. Now, I think everybody, like you said, they won't be those are five crown Christians. Those are four crown Christians. No, none of that. They're going to be at his feet. But it's the capacity. It's for as me, after all these years of serving him, Alex, right now, I love him more. That's the whole thing. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. I think that carries over into heaven. Man, capacity Amen. To know him. We hope that helps, brother. Let's go to Texas. Melvin, thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon. Howdy. Good to have you, man. Go right ahead.
Yes. I wanted to let you know I was listening 91.9 in San Angelo, but it was skitsy a little bit, so I just jumped on the app, AFR.net, clicked on the player and click play, and been listening to you guys, and I love you guys, and the IT guys there are amazing.
Amen. Aren't they? We want to give a shout out to all of our guys in IT, producers, the engineers. You have problems, but now we have so many ways that people can listen to, AFR. It's amazing. So go ahead, Melvin. Thank you for that, brother.
Yes, sir. I got to come to the Activate Summit and meet Alex, and great speech, great information, and love you guys. I wanted to ask a question about begotten. I know Jesus is God's only begotten son. Abraham had Isaac, his only begotten son. Is it anywhere else in the Bible, and what is a good definition for the word begotten?
Alex, you answer this good. A lot of places say unique, but it's even more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Like in John 3:16, where it's very famously, and what a beloved verse this is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. In the Greek, it's two words. M-O-N-O, mono-G-E-N-S-S, monogenesis. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, it's not like a procreation, a human baby being born. It means of the same nature, that the son who came onto the stage of world history is of the same essence or nature as God the Father. So what John 3:16 and that term, only begotten, is saying is that the Son is the same essence of the Father. And so it doesn't undermine Jesus' deity. If anything, it very strongly affirms it.
Amen. Thank you. That's a good question. I think we got time for one more. Phyllis in Arkansas. Phyllis, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to know if I'm on the right track here. When we get to heaven, we won't have our insecurities, our neediness, our quirks that, you know, the things that cause contention and stress in our lives. It's going to be like we're fully mature in the Lord. And I think that's going to be such a relief, but it's hard to imagine.
I can only imagine.
Right, exactly.
I'm setting that up. Okay. Let me read this passage, and Alex, you come in and take us out. And it's in Revelation 21. I know it. And it says, "For God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, and there shall be no more pain. The former things have passed away." Take it away, Alex.
Well, you know, in Hebrews 4:10-11, it talks about, quote, entering into his rest. And so to her question, the hang-ups, the fears, the paranoia, the depression, no, that's gone. Our heart, our soul, our very existence will be resting in the joy of the Lord in heaven. And we thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. Tomorrow's Fire Away Friday, all questions, all the hour. Please tell somebody about Exploring the Word and the American Family Radio Network, but most of all, tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.